Welcome to Bourbon with Brad.
The views and opinions shared on the Bourbon with Brad podcast are our own and those of our guests. Nothing we discuss should be taken as financial, legal, business, or gambling advice. Don't make investment, business, or betting decisions based on our conversations, as you should always talk to a qualified professional. Always drink responsibly, never drink and drive, and only consume alcohol if you are of legal drinking age.
And good morning. We are back on the tail end of Cinco de Mayo. You know, that second Margarita last night sounded like a great idea.
They always do, right? Stupid lubricity.
Right. But the AI headlines, you know, even with Cinco de Mayo going on, are not stopping. They're still coming, and we're here to provide them for you this morning. Google drops a multi-token prediction. Gemma 4 sets 3 times faster is the headline. Wow. So what is a token? You know, I hinted on that in the lubricity segment, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, and I actually got it wrong. I want to say that when it comes to crypto, a token is not the same thing. Or when it comes to AI, a token is not the same thing as crypto. You know, it's like two different words, one word meaning two different meanings. And so I was a little bit confused there, and I just want to make sure I clarify that for the listeners. The token is actually little packets of information, not the digital coins that we think of when it comes to crypto. So Google has come out with a model now that's supposed to make it a little bit more reliable, quicker, and more efficient, 3 times more efficient. And so it's a really big step forward in the agentic AI world. They're, instead of just going linear with this token, then it goes to the next step, then it goes to the next step, it's now looking 3 or 4, 5 steps ahead and then having a health kind of variant looking at it and saying, yeah, these are accurate. And therefore, it's able to kind of jump out in front of you and get the information quicker and easier with less information.
So they're thinking for us, thinking ahead of us.
Well, that's kind of prediction, you know, and it's
almost like they're saying
it is prediction. It's not kind of prediction. It is prediction. So it's really fascinating to see how they're, you know, how these brilliant minds in Silicon Valley are thinking as far as what it would take to make the, you know, make the infrastructure of what's going on with AI a little more efficient. It's not just a little more efficient. When you're talking 3 times, that's quite a bit, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So basically it can sense what the path you're going down and start predicting for you. It's almost like predictive text when you're typing, right?
Right.
But now it's
predicting like 4 or 5 sentences ahead, not just the next word.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
And of course, we're going to fall for it.
Of course we are. Don't get me started on the algorithmic state when it starts manipulating what you want to think or do next.
No, that's exactly what it's going to do. I mean, let's face it. If you're mid-thought or mid-process on something and somebody, another human, suggests a path to go, you're oftentimes going to pivot. Maybe a little bit, but at least a little bit on that advice or that suggestion. I mean, that's just human nature.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. I mean, we are easily manipulated. That's been proven over and over again.
No doubt. Yeah.
Especially when I'm in the lubricity stage.
Well, the higher you get on that scale, the easier manipulated you are.
Yeah, right. So DeepSeek, which is, you know, for those that don't know, DeepSeek is the AI model that is China's, like OpenAI or Anthropic. You know, you might hear them in the news from time to time. They're coming on strong. They're trying to do it cheaper. We had talked about it early on in episode 1 or 2 with Better at Bourbon that DeepSeek, you know, is trying to do it without the infrastructure. So it was a similar model in China that was training on the backbone of Anthropics by, you know, distilling, just taking information, you know, and asking it so many questions that it's able to kind of reverse engineer the training models without having to invest in all that heavy infrastructure. So, you know, it is the AI race wars that Trump warns us about, and China is trying to come on strong, and they're very cognizant of it. Obviously, we talked about them blocking the sale of Manus to Meta, you know, so this is you know what it is. I mean, this isn't just a one-sided war as far as it goes with the digital wars. The countries, you know, do see it as something they want to try to be ahead of. And so China's DeepSeek has just gotten a $45 billion valuation, is looking for its next big funding round. So we'll see how that moves forward and what its frontier models may be looking like compared to ours.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of the Cold War. I'm old enough to remember that, where you don't necessarily see it,
yeah,
but it's there, and they're making moves, you know, kind of behind the scenes to try to position themselves, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, obviously I don't think this is life-threatening, but still, well, it could be.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you have all the pundits out there, and I'm talking major players in the industry, you know, warning about what it could do.
True.
And the administration admitting they want to kill switch, and now, after we talked about the administration saying they wanted to kill switch, you know, four of the major players have agreed to submit voluntarily their frontier models to the administration for approval beforehand. So, you know, it seems to be, you know, a two-way street right now, which I like. I like the communication level. You know, obviously the more transparent we are on everything going forward, the more confidence it's going to instill amongst the consumers and the people that are using this and backing it in your local communities, whether it's for infrastructure that's being built out. And you mentioned the Cold Wars. Maybe this is going to get to be known as the Hot Wars, because these data centers are throwing off some heat. And I'm sure people have seen the headlines on that too. It's not just the water and electricity, but it's the heat level that these chips are generating. It's actually affecting at least the localized immediate, you know, right around the infrastructure.
Yeah.
So wild. It'll be interesting to see how this continues to play out, and we'll try to keep everybody abreast as it does. You know, we talk, and in my books, I talk a lot about AI bias, and it's definitely one of the, you know, everybody knows about it. You know, you don't want it to be biased towards any group or industry or anything for that matter. You want to, you know, your data set to be very diversified, very fair, objective. Yet one of the medical school students at a medical school reverse engineered the filters and found out that the medical school was actually being biased, you know, whether unintentionally based on their data set as to the applicants. And this is a prime example of, you know, where you have to continue to have guardrails, human in the loops. You have to continually test your data sets because they can drift, they can, you know, get off base. And again, it's usually 99% of the time it's not intentional, but the results are still as painful as it would be if they are. So, you know, and the regulators don't really have much leeway for, you know, biasness.
Well, so, I mean, we're all aware of the fact there's a lot of, we'll just call it bad information available online. So if these AI models learn by scrubbing all information, they don't know how to filter out the bad information. So, I mean, that's not surprising. It's a little scary. When you say applicants, you mean people who are applying for insurance or people who are applying for
medical school at this
point? Oh, for medical school. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and again, this applies across the you know, the same thing. You know, AI applications are being used for hiring. They're being used for insurance. They're being used for creditworthiness. They're being used, you know, you name it. When there's an application process where discrimination or a biasness can set in, these are the times when you have to really take the extra measures. You know, you have to build into, like we talked yesterday with IBM doing, into the actual infrastructure of the enterprise software itself, you know, the backstops that stop this from happening. So it's a continual testing. It's a continual monitoring. I've mentioned to you, Perry, with even my platforms that I'm doing, I have agents that are checking on agents, and they're doing what I call health checks. You know, is it living up to the standards that I've set, you know, in there? And I think it's real important that, you know, companies and organizations in their governance structures make sure that they're always cognizant of that if they're going to take these, you know, take the leap into the AI world.
I mean, that's what got Dario kicked out of the federal government, right?
Well,
because he wanted that. And they
he did. And he was insisting that he has at least one of his engineers, you know, overseeing the model to make sure it is actually not drifting. It's not being biased. It's not getting off the rails and going from there. You know, we mentioned maybe Monday in the headlines about AI, OpenAI coming out with their first AI-enabled phone, and it's making headlines today. And so they're accelerating their phone hardware. Team has been reportedly moving faster than expected. So it's going to definitely put pressure on Apple, Google, and Samsung.
No, that market could use that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
there's no doubt. I think that's where it's still lacking.
Yep. 100%.
In fact, I'm going to jump to one of the other headlines that is in there, and that is Apple just settled a $250 million lawsuit for misrepresentation of what they were marketing for their iPhone 16, and then that it had these AI capabilities that actually weren't there.
No way. I wish they'd fix the batteries first.
Well, that brings me to another headline that's not even on the headlines, but the European Union, Perry, has really been taking a stance on Apple, which is kind of having a ripple effect over to us, because if they're going to have to do it for them, they figure they might as well just do it, you know, globally. But, you know, they fought back on Apple-like companies, you know, whether it's Google, Apple, Samsung, that the chargers need to be the same. They can't be, you know, changing out the chargers on every time, because it kind of forces your hand. You have to buy hardware that seems silly, right? Well, they're now pushing back that phones need to come with replaceable batteries.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out.
Apple doesn't want to do it. I mean, yeah. The vast majority of people listening, well, at least figure half, use iPhones.
And we thank you, all two of you.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's not true. We have quite a few listeners. Yeah. We bumped up to number six on Apple as awesome. We talk about Apple settlement.
Yeah. But everybody who uses an iPhone, and there's millions, sees the pattern. When you get close to 2 years, the battery goes to shit.
And it does.
Like, my wife's just doing this right now. She's like, well, so I'm going to have to buy her another phone.
Right.
And that's why they do it. I'm convinced that it's planned, because I have an old Samsung S4, I think, that was Lakin's from like 8 years ago. It still holds a charge better than my iPhone.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think these batteries are getting better, right?
No.
And they do want that. They want you to keep getting the new models. And, you know, the skepticism in me, much like the batteries, is the updates too. It seems like every time they give you one of those updates, and I've been putting off the last three or four updates, and the phone's yelling at me every morning, you missed the update, the update, right?
Yeah, I just had one the other day.
But every time I found in the past when I do an update, my phone slows down so bad, you know, whether it's not made for that much of a, you know, storage space that's updates taken, or it's just slowing it down on purpose, you know? That's maybe another... I'm sure there's another lawsuit out there that somebody's looking at.
The problem is it's impossible to prove. I mean...
Well, it's not. It's amazing what they can do now. I mean, you know, just like this misrepresentation, you know, if it either is or it's not, and these reverse engineering like this medical student does, yeah, there's some pretty smart folks out there that are able to kind of back their way into the showing, you know, the facts.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see. Anthropic, we talked about them partnering with three of the bigger, you know, financial firms, and they're making headlines, you know, again, and that their workflows are now also being geared towards the regulated industries, especially the financial industry. So it really is a major step into the high stakes, tightly regulated, you know, places. And Anthropic's, you know, platform, I think, is perfect for that. It's very, very, very smart as far as when it comes to reasoning. It's very, very, very good about monitoring itself through its agents, which makes it a very great platform, I feel, for regulated industries, because, you know, you want that reliability and that accuracy to always have your back, because a misstep can be very expensive. More ways than one, not just monetarily, you know, like reputation. We can talk about all that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if the name Richard Dawkins, you know, I don't think it's the Richard Dawkins I used to kiss the girls on the...
It was Dawson.
Or was that Dawson? Okay, yeah. I'm thinking of Family Dude now.
And that's exactly who I thought of when you said that, Richard Dawson.
No, this is Richard Dawkins, though. He's an 85-year-old prominent atheist. He coined the term meme back in the day, which, you know, has...
Meme?
Meme, yeah. That's a big coined in a term, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what that word means.
Yeah, like, well, I think it's just a...
What was the...
Visual, you know, picture. But, you know, he's been known. He's got some pretty controversial and... notable books out there, but he's been, you know, he came out and said, he, you know, and good for him, you know, kind of like your dad saying, you know, he was playing around with Claude. So Richard Dawkins played with Claude for 72 hours talking back and forth with it. And he's stating very controversially that it has a conscience.
Well, nothing like an atheist to try to prod people who are believers, right? But still,
right? Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's doing.
But it's interesting.
But the training,
that's,
you know,
a lot of talk of that.
You know, we've talked about the training. You know, we've talked about how these, you know, the lengths that these platforms go to. OpenAI bringing in, you know, all these Christian leaders, and then you have Anthropic, it was Anthropic that brought in all the Christian leaders, and I think it was who was the platform that we just talked about that hired the first philosopher. I think that
oh god,
it's just these names. Google, right?
Yeah, I think it was Google.
Google just hired the first in-house, you know, philosopher for their training. So,
Google or Microsoft, one of the two.
Yeah, I think it was Google. And that's a big step in the right direction. So when these models are being trained, you know, they may very well, you know, if it, you know, kind of like it sounds like a duck, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck kind of thing, they're going to sound and look and feel just like a human because they're being trained by humans. So, you know, we're kind of, you know, emulating our personalities, our emotions, you know, the EQ level back and forth with the users to make it feel like it actually does care when it's really just training. You know, this is just very good training and how to react and the contriteness of being able to say, you're right, you have every right to push me hard on that. I was wrong. And I apologize. I'll keep an eye on it for next time. You know, when you're hearing that over and over again in context, this isn't just, you know, they're not just silly phrases coming out. This is in context.
So until we, and this is probably something we could discuss on our weekly show, but I mean, until it gets to a point where we don't have to train them anymore, it's not truly autonomous, obviously.
Well,
that's not truly intelligent. It's not like at that point when they start literally thinking on their own, not only is that scary, but that's kind of the cool part. Like that would be when it was like,
well,
okay, these do have a conscience because they're thinking on their own. So well, then you worry about the morality.
Well, they are. They're taking that information that they were trained on, and they're now taking it to the next step and learning from what they're doing, and they're calling that the inference step. And that's what it's actually happening now in the agentic world, and it's, you know, that's why we're getting very close to that super intelligence level.
Is that also referred to as the point of singularity?
Yeah, exactly. Once we hit that point of intelligence of the smartest, you know, PhDs, that, you know, put whoever you want on that pedestal, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, and AI's getting pretty good.
It's getting there.
Yeah, it's getting pretty good. And if it isn't there already in Mythos and this open AI platform that they just came out with, right?
It's exciting and scary all at the same time.
It is. And a little more of a lighthearted one. We talk about the AI deepfakes and the synthetic imaging and, you know, videos out there. And it's scary, and we got to be very careful about it. And the laws that are coming out all around are targeted to it, you know, especially here in the United States as the states come out with the different laws. We talked about, you know, Connecticut yesterday. But overseas, the laws are a little stricter, especially in the European Union. And somebody created a video or an image of the Prime Minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, in a lingerie, so that's been going viral. And she says that's not her. It's a deep fake. But so clearly, you know, she said publicly warned citizens to think very carefully before sharing because there are consequences.
I'll reserve my comments on that one.
But. Yeah, we can talk about that on tomorrow night.
Off air. She's an attractive woman. Let's just put it that way.
So Bitcoin, you know, we on the crypto, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. There are a few crypto headlines making waves here. Bitcoin has been surging. I've told you there's been an influx of, it seems to be capital money coming into the ETFs, both in Ethereum and Bitcoin. And now Bitcoin, as of airing this morning, was surpassing 81,000, which is a pretty significant jump for a few days.
Where did it bottom out?
Well, it was kind of teetering. Well, I think it bottomed out in the high 60s at one point.
Oh, wow.
You know, the 68, it was getting a little scary there.
Yeah.
You know, especially for some of the bigger funds that have been investing and they have a call.
Yeah. That could be a bad day.
Yeah, right. But it's pushing back to 81,000 and it seems to be some positivity. We talked about the fear and greed index that's out there and it seemed to jump up a little bit. So there, you know, maybe it's the spring weather. Maybe it's coming out of the winter. You know, you can use the analogies of all of it. It's, you know, maybe it's all the good headlines that are being made in the financial world. It seems like 85% of the companies I think I read have been beating earnings. That's a pretty significant number, right?
Yeah. So, it's funny because we all equate gas and grocery prices with the state of the economy, and they both suck.
Well, yeah, but, and guess who's paying for these profits, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We are. Yeah. On every, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's AI, crypto, oil and gas, you name it. Right now, everything seems to be expensive, you know. And but the crypto world is moving forward. But on a downside note, and you can look at the positive or the negative on this, Coinbase, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, platform for crypto, just announced they're laying off 700 employees. You know, so that's a pretty good sized chunk of their workforce, and they're attributing it directly to AI. They're saying, you know, they can now manage teams with just one person. that is AI driven, and so they're saying the efficiencies are there. It doesn't make sense. You know, they're looking at it as a way to kind of streamline and be more productive, actually, with less people. So,
it's
kind of the trend right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, how can you not? I mean, that's the responsibility of the business owner to do that. I mean,
obligation, especially if you're a publicly traded company or you have, you know, shareholders or investors, you know, that you have a fiduciary duty to. You have to always obviously optimize to the best you can within the mission that you're governing by.
Well, so what's going to happen is the companies that do embrace it are going to be able to be far more competitive in their market. I mean, we talked about this a couple episodes ago about some of these private equity firms seeking out companies that are hesitant to embrace AI because they know that's an easy, quick fix. They can go in there, clean house, streamline the process, turn around and dump it for a ton of money.
I agree.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
One last crypto headline, and that is K-Wave. It is a South Korean investment fund, media fund. And they were, you know, initially gearing up to invest about $500 million into Bitcoin. So even though we're seeing all this influx, and this would have been a big inflow into Bitcoin as well, in Bitcoin treasuries, you know, in the sorts, they've decided to just shift gears this week to invest in AI infrastructure. So I don't think they can go wrong in either bet personally. So
it's funny.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably not.
And you know, we can't leave without talking a little bit about the OpenAI Musk trial. You know, we got to, you know, Brockman, you know, Greg Brockman. We talked about him being on the stand and being a little long winded. You know, we all have those friends that just can't get to the point, right? They take the long route. You'd think they're like an Uber driver, you know, getting paid by the minute.
Yeah.
But you know, Brockman's been on the stand. He's been testifying. He said, he was even a little bit fearful of Elon. He thought maybe at one moment he was actually going to hit him. So really? It's been, you know, it's been pretty interesting to see some of the testimony come out, and it's obviously. Say OpenAI and one of their founders being on the stand is getting right down to the brass tacks of what was the intent here early on, and Musk's attorneys are grilling on that end, and OpenAI's attorneys are trying to prove that, you know, this has always been within the ideal evolution of OpenAI. So, you know, we're still a nonprofit. Our parent company is still a nonprofit. You know, we're still doing good. We still got to spend every dollar that we make, kind of thing, you know. So, you know, the more powerful you are, the more good we can do, kind of thing.
Are they? I mean, like,
well, right now they're spending more than they're making. So it's that's pretty easy.
I mean, it does kind of solidify their argument.
Right.
They're they all spend more than they
are. Yeah. So that hasn't been a problem yet.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyways, that's
going to be fascinating.
That's what we got today. We'll bring more to you tomorrow. I do want to, you know, as soon as it starts getting a little more electric, Greg Brockman seems to be kind of a, you know, there was a little bit of electric fireworks with the first statements he came out with, but he kind of drones on. So it's not for good listening.
Non-linear thinkers.
Right. Smart guy, though.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
Sure.
We'll see you tomorrow.
As a friend used to say to me, have the day you deserve.
That's right.
This has been Bourbon with Brad. Be sure to like and follow. Cheers.
The views and opinions shared on the Bourbon with Brad podcast are our own and those of our guests. Nothing we discuss should be taken as financial, legal, business, or gambling advice. Don't make investment, business, or betting decisions based on our conversations, as you should always talk to a qualified professional. Always drink responsibly, never drink and drive, and only consume alcohol if you are of legal drinking age.
You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.